news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The former Minneapolis police officer who killed George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, appears in court Monday for the first time since being charged, exactly 2 weeks after George Floyd's death. Chauvin has been charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Also Monday, a third and final memorial service is being held for Floyd in Houston, where he grew up. This all following a second weekend of protests that have gone global and have grown to encompass more issues of systemic racism and police brutality. In the UK, protesters toppled a statue of 17th-century slave trader Edward Colston, mirroring several instances in the U.S. where Confederate monuments have been defaced, removed, or designated for removal. In Brazil, protesters gathered in support of Black Lives Matter and to protest President Jair Bolsonaro's government, including its mishandling of the coronavirus pandemic. In Minneapolis, 9 of the 12 members of the Minneapolis City Council announced that they intend to defund and dismantle the city's police department. Council President Lisa Bender says they may shift police funding toward community-based strategies instead and discuss how to eventually replace the current police force, though she stressed that is, quote, not in the short term. All this comes after Minneapolis on Friday officially banned police chokeholds in the wake of George Floyd's killing. The nationwide spread of anti-racist protests have led to calls to defund or outright abolish police departments, and some cities are considering that along with other changes. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will move some of its funding from the NYPD to youth and social services. Last week, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti agreed to slash between $100 million and $150 million from the LAPD's proposed $1.86 billion budget. I guess it's a start. Former Republican Secretary of State Colin Powell on Sunday said he would support former Vice President Joe Biden in the November presidential election, saying Donald Trump is a chronic liar who has drifted away from the Constitution.
The Republican Party, the president, thought they were sort of immune. They can go say anything they wanted. And even more troubling, the Congress would just sit there and not in any way resist what the president's doing. And the one word I have to use with respect to what he's been doing for the last several years is a word I would never have used before. I never would have used with any of the four presidents I've worked for. He lies. He lies about things. And he gets away with it because people will not hold him accountable. And so while we're watching him, we need to watch our Congress. I watched the senators heading into the chamber the other day after all this broke, with a reporter saying, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? They had nothing to say. They would not react. And so we're not a country of just a president. We have a Congress. We have a Supreme Court. But most of all, we have the people of the United States, the ones who vote him in and the ones who vote him out. I couldn't vote for him in 96, and I certainly cannot in any way support President Trump this year. I'm very close to Joe Biden on a social matter and on a political matter. I've worked with him for 35, 40 years, and he is now the candidate, and I will be voting for him.
Powell was just the latest former military general to criticize Trump's attempts to stamp out nationwide protests with force. Powell, who served as former President George W. Bush's top diplomat, said on CNN that he was, quote, proud of fellow former military leaders who had made similar remarks in recent days since Trump threatened to send troops to cities and states that failed to, quote, dominate people participating in unrest over police brutality against African Americans. Trump, of course, responded on Twitter, calling Powell, quote, a real stiff. Senator Mitt Romney on Sunday joined an anti-racism protest in Washington, D.C., becoming the first Republican senator known to have participated in the protests against excessive force against African Americans that have followed the death of George Floyd. Romney marched alongside evangelicals protesting injustice and racism on Sunday. In an interview, he said he wanted to find, quote, a way to end violence and brutality and to make sure that people understand that Black lives matter, end quote. He also tweeted two photos from the protest with the caption, Black Lives Matter. Organizers said they didn't know Romney was going to participate. And then there's this little tidbit floating around today. Donald Trump is considering an address to the nation this week about race and unity. Congressional Democrats are expected to announce Monday legislation to overhaul police accountability. The Justice in Policing Act would overhaul legal protections for police and end qualified immunity for them, create a national database of excessive force episodes, and set new standards for police training. In other news, New York City is scheduled to start gradually reopening its economy on Monday, 100 days after it confirmed its first case of coronavirus. The city has been the epicenter of the outbreak in the United States. More than 205,000 infections have been recorded in New York City, along with nearly 22,000 deaths. The first phase of New York City's reopening will let about 400,000 workers return to construction, manufacturing, and retail jobs. It was just a few weeks ago that the city's hospitals were overwhelmed, and as many as 800 people died of COVID-19 in a single day. But with all the protests comes the danger of another spike in coronavirus infections, as protesters are, for the most part, ignoring social distancing guidelines. Oh, and remember the big May jobs report released Friday by the Bureau of Labor Statistics? You know, the one that indicated that the U.S. unemployment rate fell to 13.3% in May from 14.7% in April? You know, the one that Donald Trump used as a pretext for a rambling Rose Garden statement in which he proclaimed, quote, George Floyd is having a great day. Well, a note buried inside the report disclosed a, quote, misclassification error in the data. Some people who should have been classified as temporarily unemployed during coronavirus shutdowns were mislabeled as employed but absent. The note said that if the error had not occurred, the overall unemployment rate would have been about 3 percentage points higher than reported. That means the true jobless rate for May was likely about 16.3%. Donald Trump, of course, has been completely silent on the error, and the corporate media has been pretty quiet about it, too. And if you need proof that protests matter, staffers at the New York Times say they've never seen anything like this. Their top opinion editor, James Bennett, is gone, effective immediately, following days of anger at the New York Times about Tom Cotton's Send in the Troops op-ed and widespread frustration with the opinion section's missteps under Bennett's leadership. Oh, and op-ed page editor Jim Dow, who oversaw editing of Cotton's piece, is being reassigned to the newsroom. At the Philadelphia Inquirer, the top editor, Stan Wisnowski, resigned Saturday, quote, after discontent among the newspaper staff erupted over a headline that read, Buildings Matter Too. And we'll end with some good news for a change. New Zealand's health ministry announced Monday that the country has no active cases of COVID-19. This is the first time there have been no known cases of the coronavirus in New Zealand since February 28th. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced that the government would lift most restrictions and move to the lowest alert level, but keep its border closed. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.